who's and what's and why's and wherefores. Here you'll find your whatnots and therefores. So come on along, let's find out what's going on. Where's and when's and who's and what's it's. No matter what your taste, you can trust it's the place where you can find all your new Disney news. Where's and when's and who's and what's it's. No matter what you taste, you can trust it's the place where you can find all your new Disney news.
Welcome to the Sweep Spot Current Events Edition as of March 1st, 2024.
Thank you for joining us for this update on what's been happening at the Disneyland Resort.
That's right. My name is Lynn, and Ken's my co-host, and we are former Disneyland custodial cast members, and we talk Disneyland. We're also the hosts of the number one Disneyland podcast, hosted by two former Disneyland custodians.
Number one.
And on this current events edition, like Ken said, we're going to be looking at all the latest stories over the past 2 weeks. And if you'd like to, we have books out, Cleaning the Kingdom, and we have two different volumes out. So you can get signed copies of the second book on our website, thesweetspot.com, or you can get both books, not signed, but on Amazon. And you can also get them on digital, like Kindle and whatnot. And then you can also get the audio book versions of both books on Audible and wherever audiobooks are sold. You can help support our show by joining our Patreon. You can get some great perks for $5 or more per month. You get two really valuable, I think they're valuable perks. You get to get one bonus episode delivered to you that we record specifically for the Patreons. And it's just Ken and I talking about various topics about Disneyland, obviously. And then you get to join in once a month as we record the current events live. And you get to interact with us sometimes, you know, like we kind of have a lot of fun because we get on there about 10 minutes early ish. And then we, you know, sometimes we'll just chat with people in the chat room and, you know, they'll ask questions or whatnot. It's fun. And then when we start recording, you get to interact with the others in the chat room and leave comments. And then we'll read those comments as we go through our current events. So it's a lot of fun. You can join that for $5 or more per month. And you get those perks at patreon.com and search the Sweep Spot, or go to thesweepspot.com and search Patreon. If you don't want those perks and you just kind of want to help the show a little bit, we always appreciate anything you're willing to give. We really do. You don't have to. It's just something I put out there for everyone if they'd like to try to help. It does help pay the bills and stuff like that. So we don't have a sponsor anymore. So we're just listener funded. So, you can do that for you. Even if you wanted to give a dollar a month, it's totally fine. But you never have to. We'll never make you, we'll never make this a pay podcast. But I think it is worth the money. Okay, Ken, I think we need to get right into the current events. But before we do that, we're going to hear from Eric at Concierge. Give us the D180.
Hello everyone, this is Eric Johnson with Concierge, and welcome to the D180. While Ken and Lynn cover all things Disneyland, in the D180 we take a spin around the rest of the Disney universe, and we do it in 180 seconds. Let's jump right in! We begin our journey this week at sea. The Disney Cruise Line is making some waves with a big announcement about Castaway Cay. All of your favorite Disney characters are getting a big upgrade this summer with new outfits. Okay, that's not the biggest news, but these outfits do look pretty cute. Mickey and Minnie sport some swimwear with flourishes that tie into the colors of the Disney Cruise Line ships. Daisy Duck is ready for her day at the beach with a colorful wrap dress. Donald, however, is looking to get in some snorkeling. He's got all the right equipment, including some floaties on his arms. I thought ducks were better swimmers. Goofy is dressed up for the sun with a cool hat that Max probably thinks is horribly uncool. Chip and Dale up their game by making brightly colored pirate costumes. Don't worry though, they have floaty vests on in case their adventures get a little too wet. Again, not the biggest news, but it's a lot of fun. If you're a character chaser, you will love meeting the entire crew wearing completely new gear. Check it out only on Castaway Cay with the Disney Cruise Line. While we're at sea, let's check out the news about the Disney Treasure still under construction. I and many others made a big deal out of a new Haunted Mansion-themed lounge on the new ship. We got a tantalizing new detail this week about said lounge in the form of a tribute. Rolly Crump, so influential to the designs of the Haunted Mansion, sadly passed away last year. Imagineers stuck small statues of Rolly's horrifying candle wax man into the Haunted Mansions in both Disneyland and the Magic Kingdom several months ago. Now they're giving Rolly himself the same treatment. On Rolly's birthday, Disney revealed a bust of Brother Roland that will show up in the new lounge. Appropriately, half of Rolly's face is melting as if the bust was also made of wax. It's a touch scary, a lot of fun, and a fitting tribute to a true Disney legend. You want to hear more about water? You said yes, right? Great! Walt Disney World guests are getting a unique new perk to their Disney Resort trips in 2025. Yes, that's a way off, but it doesn't hurt to plan ahead. You only need to make a deposit on the trip after all. So back to the water. When you arrive in 2025, you'll want to pick an early flight. Anyone staying at a Disney Resort hotel gets free admission to the resort's famous water parks, Typhoon Lagoon and Blizzard Beach. Why not start your trip with a quick dip in a giant wave pool? This is just one of the many perks of staying at a Disney resort. You can make earlier dining reservations. You can enter certain parks 30 minutes early. You don't have to drive around and park your car. Enjoy convenient and free travel to the parks. And if you don't want to leave the hotel, I guarantee you'll find plenty of activities for the whole family. Our concierge planners are ready and waiting to arrange the trip of your dreams even into 2025. Give us a call or send us an email. We're all trained up on the newest offerings around the world. Yes, even me. And I'm just a voice. I hope you enjoyed our quick spin around the rest of the Disney universe. If you would like to learn more about these Disney adventures or just have a few questions, please come on over. Visit the social media and websites of both the Sweep Spot and Concierge, then reach out to Lynn, your personal travel planner. He looks forward to planning something special for you and your family. For Concierge, I'm Eric Johnson, and this has been your D180.
Looking to go to Disneyland Resort in California, Walt Disney World Resort in Florida, Aulani in Hawaii, or on a Disney cruise, or Adventures by Disney Vacation, I am here to help you book the best vacation possible, and my expertise and services won't cost you anything extra. Disney pays me, not you. As a perk by booking a package with me, I can also book your dining reservations, park reservations, tours, shuttles, and more. Let me do the hard work while you get excited about your upcoming Disney vacation. I can also book Universal Studios trips as well. By booking with me this year, you will receive 3 months free of our Patreon perk, like our bonus episodes, and join in on our current events live. So contact me at lbarron, that's LBARRON, at concierge.com, that's concierge.com, or thesweepspot@gmail.com. Now we're going to have the current events. Ken, what do you have for us?
Oh, Lynn, I've got a few things.
All right.
You know, it just keeps going and going with Disneyland. The first thing I wanted to bring to everybody's attention was a recap of a Disneyland Forward session. And this report actually comes from Mike Celestino at the Laughing Place. And it's titled Event Recap. We attend our third Disneyland Forward public workshop and learn why residents are upset about Magic Way. Now, Magic Way is that little road that runs north of the Disneyland Hotel and south of the Pixar Pals parking structure. So that is the little, it runs east-west, and it's between, what, Walnut and Disneyland Drive. But anyway, as it says here, and this is from back on February 27th, yesterday I took a trip down to Anaheim City Hall to be in the audience for my third Disneyland Forward public workshop with the Anaheim Planning Commission. Below is a recap of my experience. And as it says here, Disneyland Resort is divided into theme park districts, hotel districts, and parking districts. Basically, the resort wants the freedom to develop new themed areas on existing parking lots. A new parking structure would also be built on the Pumbaa lot. The proposal would also amend the height regulations on theme park space near residential areas. The highest part of any building would be spaced away from residences, and these structures themselves would be set back from the nearby homes as well. A sizable portion of this meeting was spent discussing one of the main sticking points of this new proposal, the abandonment of Magic Way, which is a short road just to the south of the Pixar Pier's parking structure, to public access from Walnut Street to the west Disneyland, to the west. Disneyland Forward would also add a crosswalk across Walnut into the Disneyland Resort, and that entrance would continue to grant free public access to pedestrians during the day. Some residents expressed disapproval of this change because they use Magic Way as a shortcut from Walnut to Disneyland Drive in order to access the 5 freeway to the north or Catella Avenue to the south. A representative from Disney says the company conducted a traffic count of that shortcut and found that only 30 cars use it per day, which accounts for 1% of the traffic on Magic Way, the remaining 99% being Disneyland Resort guests and quote-unquote users. You take heed, users. next time you may not fare so well. The Disneyland representative also went over the company's 2023 environment goals concerning emissions, waste, and water. Disney is aiming for a net zero emissions by 2030 by developing energy efficient programs and other initiatives. The company is also aiming for zero waste to landfill by 2023 by using responsible sourcing for food and feeding hungry people to animals. No,
2030.
Feeding hungry people and animals. Because it sounds like a nice number is my guess.
Yeah. So you said the company was aiming for a landfill by 2023. I thought, well, they missed that. No, but 2030.
30, excuse me.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fine.
I'm sorry. 2030. The dates are 20. That's the magical day. It might have something to do with state mandates.
I see.
Yeah, they're going to make sure nothing goes to landfill by repackaging it as food or collectibles. But I'm making that up. But
okay.
When it came time for questions and statements from the Anaheim Planning Commissioners and the public in attendance, many of them were regarding the closure of Magic Way to public vehicle access. Other concerns included the amount of money going toward affordable housing, noise from the parks and their fireworks, cast member wages, and traffic. A transportation expert speaking on behalf of Disney clarified that Magic Way was not intended for use as a shortcut. By who? That's my question. Is it's not intended as used for a shortcut. It's a if it's a public road, I'm not saying that Disney shouldn't get it and vacate it, meaning Disney would get control of it.
Right.
It wouldn't be a public road anymore. but which means Disney would be responsible for all the upkeep of it, by the way. What do you think?
Well, it sounds like not very, I mean, if there's, you know, the research they conducted here said that they only found 30 cars a day. Like, that's not enough for me, to me, to justify leaving it open when Disney, that's one less street for the city to take care of, and Disney's going to take care of it. I don't know. I don't see the big problem, but I don't live there, so it doesn't affect me.
But you're not the one taking the shortcut every day.
I'm not. But how much of a shortcut is it? Like a minute? I don't know. I'm just wondering.
I mean, sometimes people just figure it's better if they're going north, it's better than going all the way to Ball Road and dealing with that intersection.
Yeah, I guess if you lived right there in that neighborhood behind, it would definitely be shorter. But you'll have to conduct that. Can get in your car and then drive. Yeah.
Disney should just, they should just take aside anyone who objects and says, I use that as a shortcut. And then Disney should go, here, do you want some, free passes for, you know, the next 10 years or?
Free parking.
Yeah, park in our parking structure. You don't even, you can turn your garage into whatever you want.
Yeah. rent it out.
Yeah. Well, that's an idea right there. But it's great. It's always funny because they mentioned all the other complaints people have. And that's what people do is they show up and say, well, you want to build more hotels, but, you know, I don't like what your company's doing over with this stuff. And it's like, well, what does it have to do with my new hotel?
Right. We're talking about. Yeah. Yeah.
but it's the people's chance to say something, you know, and.
Right. So and Disney's putting themselves out there.
Oh, right. And that's, you know, it's a necessary part of the process. You're talking about these are public meetings. You're dealing with some public issues in terms of zoning and all that sort of thing.
So who makes the ultimate decision on all this? Is it through like the city council or?
I believe so. The planning commission does it preliminarily, I believe. Uh-huh. And I think the city council has to sign off on it.
So I guess it depends.
But there
on,
could be, you know, there, even if they do, there could be lawsuits. I mean, somebody could sue and say, no, that doesn't work right. And a court can get involved. And, Disney's trying to avoid all that, you know. Mm-hmm.
Why do they really need it? I don't know. I'm just trying to think. I know the road is only access to downtown Disney or one side of downtown Disney and then the hotel, of course. And then the parking, but why can't they have that? Why would they not want to have it closed or open? I mean,
why would Disney want to take it over?
Yeah.
They can conceivably do things like put something at the end of it, you know, that, I mean, they might need to keep it functional for emergency access or something, but there's all kind. I mean, if you have the freedom to tear that up, just like West Street used to be this straight north-south street,
right?
That got torn up and replaced with Disneyland Drive. You know,
still goes through, but yeah,
yeah, it still goes through. But yeah,
is that where what was that road that ran through the back of Disneyland, the state backstage? Wasn't that a public road at
Schumacher?
Yeah. I think that was a public road at one point, like way back.
Of course, Cerritos, I think, was vacated.
Mm-hmm.
That used to go across what became Disney property. And then the original purchase, Disney said, if you can tear up that road, then this is the plot of land we want. You know,
Well, things were different back then. Yeah,
a little bit different. But, you know, of course, there's links. You know, we'll have these links. Our current events section of our website will have them. So you can click through and see the whole thing. And, you know, there's videos or pictures or anything like that. And you can just click through and see that at thesweepspot.com. That's our official website. Accept no imitators. Thesweepspot.com.
So I have a question for you. You're an Anaheim resident. Are you allowed to go to these meetings?
Am I allowed to do what?
Go to those meetings that they have?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think you even have to be an Anaheim resident. I think you can be, you know.
You should go to one. That'd be fun.
I should go and like rabble rouse.
Yeah.
Say, I don't, you know, I think what they need here is a studio for the Sweep Spot podcast. I'll cause a ruckus, right? And then as they're trying to tell me to be quiet, or I'll be escorted from the meeting, I'll say, "Don't you know who I am? I'm Lynn Barron."
I think it'd be interesting. I would go if I lived around there.
Yeah, I observe public meetings in another part of my life quite a bit. So,
yeah.
Yeah, so I'm not eager to go, "Hey, I want to go down to that public meeting."
Right.
Yeah.
So. All right. Well, it's an ongoing story, and we will keep you up to date on that as it progresses. All right. Well, moving on, we have an article from Mice Chat staff and from March 1st, 2024. Eat this. Disney California Adventure Food and Wine Festival 2024 Food Guide. Hot on the heels of Disney California Adventure's Lunar New Year celebration comes the Disney California Adventure Food and Wine Festival, which runs from March 1st through April 22nd, 2024. Here's everything you need to know about 2024's grand gastronomic affair.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah, let's dig in. All right, so they have a whole guide
here. It's underway.
Yeah.
Now is the time. The Food and Wine Festival is here, everybody.
Yeah, so Mice Chat has a whole guide on this, and they also have, I was watching earlier today, they did a live from the event testing some food, so you check that out, Mice Chat.
I love living in the future.
Yeah, and then Laughing Place also has a similar thing with photos and, you know, menus and everything. And Mike Mack brings that to you, Laughing Place. So can they didn't start doing these until after we had left, I think.
I think so. Didn't they start out at Epcot Center? Or
yeah,
Epcot?
Yeah. Excuse me. And they're doing a similar, not a food right now. I think they're doing the flower and garden or whatever. But it seems like Epcot has something going on year round. You know, they have flower, they have the arts, and then they have the food and the holiday, whatever. They always have something. Yeah, and I think it's good. If it's appropriate for Disney California Adventure, they definitely have more room for it, and the walkways are wider. They can just put booths along the walkways and stuff, so I need to check it out sometime. Yeah.
Yeah, that's, you know, over here, it was kind of a way to boost up California Adventure,
mm-hmm.
you know. And it kind of made sense because there's a lot of great places to eat in California. So,
yeah.
A lot of enclaves and things like that. So, you can find all kinds of food in California. That's one of the things. When people move out of California, that's the most common thing I see that, you know, people miss. It's like, oh my gosh, I miss going to these kinds of restaurants. And
yep, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Well, I will go on to the next story. The Orange County Register, Brady McDonald, brings us one titled Mickey Mouse Makes 36% More at Disney and then Disney World. And as he says in the article, this is from February 26th, he says Disneyland's 1,700 character and parade performers are seeking to unionize under the Actors Equity Association, which has represented Walt Disney World stage actors since 1990. Disney World characters in Florida have been represented by the Teamsters Union for more than 40 years. Wow. Disneyland character performers make 36% more than Disney World character performers. Non-unionized Disneyland character performers make a base pay of $24.15 per hour.
Wow.
With premiums up to $4.75 for some roles. Unionized Disney World character performers receive a base pay of $17.75 per hour, with premiums up to $3.25. Equity contends the coast-to-coast comparisons highlight the differences between the minimum wages and cost of living and housing in California and Florida for cast members, which is Disney parlance for employees. The cost of living in Orange County is 44.5% higher than Orlando. By Orange County, they mean Orange County, California. It's higher than Orlando, according to the PayScale cost of living calculator. So, wow. Equity's goal would be to reach an agreement with Disney that includes annual wage increases for Disneyland characters and parade performers that keep pace with inflation, similar to the agreements the union has negotiated for Disney World actors, according to Equity officials.
Is anyone keeping up with inflation? I don't know.
That's a good question. You know,
yeah, it's a whole nother topic. But
yeah,
that's pretty good. I think the non-unionized Disneyland character make $24.15 an hour. I mean, obviously everyone wants to make more, but
that's the base pay. Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty good, I think. But you know, the cost of living is a lot. But
it's funny they say Orange County. It's like, how many cast members don't even live in Orange County? They live,
true.
You know, they live like in Riverside or San
LA
Bernardino
County, yeah.
Or
yeah.
Even LA. You know,
yeah.
But yeah,
I'm not saying that they shouldn't, but I don't know. They want to. They might want to be careful and with the unions, because you know.
Well, I hope it works out for all involved. You know that. Because, I mean, companies will hopefully take action if they have trouble filling the roles.
Yeah.
You know, Universal's being hit by stuff too. You know, there's people saying, look, I can't, you know, they're saying, oh, our schedules are too erratic and we're not making enough money. Well, it's like, it's never going to be a huge amount of money. Being a frontline cast member, and the schedules, until you get some seniority, the schedules are usually going to be all over the place. Unfortunately, that's just, you know, the way it is. But if they can't fill the roles, then you would hope the company would say, look, you know, if we want to have good cast members and if we want lower turnover, so we don't have to spend all this money acquiring new ones and training them. Mm-hmm. Because at some point, the turnover becomes much more costly than
paying the people you have. Yeah.
So that's, you know, hopefully the company would do that before it becomes a problem. But we'll see what happens with that, you know.
Well, they get paid more than tickets go up. No, just kidding.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's true.
I think
costs are usually going to be passed on to the consumer.
Yeah, I definitely think cast members deserve more. They, as we both know,
would we have ever left if we were getting paid enough to meet our needs?
No. You know? Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe they wouldn't want us staying there. Maybe it's like, okay, you guys have been here long enough. Get out.
Maybe that's the goal. I don't know. But
I think maybe it was Doug Johnson. Somebody pointed that out, and I think maybe in our second book said it was certainly pretty brilliant because they offered these great benefits like medical coverage and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. But they would hire all these people who were like, you know, college students and stuff like that. Young people, and by the time they became more costly, these people had moved on to other jobs. So, so Disney, said, "Hey, we'll take care of you." But by the time they really start to, you know, you and I are at the age where it's like, you know, gotta go see the doctor more often.
Yeah,
and, you know, all that sort of thing.
Yeah, being 30 is tough, but
yeah, that's exactly right. You know, yeah, 29's not easy.
No, but no, but I don't know about now as far as the benefits go. But when I was there, I thought the benefits were pretty good. But I think benefits, we're getting into a whole other thing, but I think benefits everywhere have kind of taken a hit. I mean, as far as cost to the consumer, but
yeah,
I thought they were pretty good then. You know, without going into specifics, I thought it was good, but I don't know what it is now. You know, things have changed. I mean, things have changed where I work,
right? Right.
As far as medical too. So, well,
we will see.
It's I hope everyone gets what they want out of this. I don't know
if that's a mutually beneficial conclusion to that. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot. What I was trying to say is I think they expect a lot out of the cast members.
Yes.
As we both know, more than a normal job. So definitely they should pay more than someone working at, put down any place, but just another place. Disney has higher standards. Usually they expect you to have this high customer service, and they should definitely pay for that if that's what they're requiring.
Yeah.
So whatever that means. Yeah.
Well, Laughing Place also covers that story. So if you don't want to read it at the register, you can click through for that. Speaking of other places, Lynn.
Oh, yeah. So this is from the OC Register, Brady McDonald, who, if he listens to this, which I doubt, I've reached out to him to see if he can come on our show and talk to us. So,
yeah.
We
certainly link enough to his stories.
Exactly. And I told him that. and he said he wants a check. No. all right, it's titled Knott's Berry Farm launches pay per ride option to rival Disneyland, although Disneyland doesn't use that anymore. Oh, but they're just using it. Okay.
They're talking about like buying the Lightning Lane bypass.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay,
that's what they're talking about. You know, where it says like, oh, you can ride Rise of the Resistance by paying $20 right now, you know.
I guess we should read the article and then we'll find out. Right? All right. Knott's Berry Farm has torn a page from Disneyland and Six Flags playbooks with a new pay-per-ride option that will let riders skip the line on the most popular roller coasters and dark rides without paying for an all-day fast lane pass. Knott's Berry Farm has quietly rolled out a new pay-per-ride option that charges $7.50 and up per individual ride as part of the Fast Lane Front of the Line program. The new single-use Fast Lane Pass option was introduced as part of recently updated Knott's mobile app. You have to be in the park to purchase a single-use Fastlane Pass. The Knott's mobile app displays the available pay-per-ride attractions after 2 p.m. The single-use passes start at $7.50 per ride, and the dynamic prices vary by ride, day, time of day, and time of year. You can buy as many single-use passes as you want per day. Knott's will limit the number of single-use Fastlane passes available each day, just like the park does with traditional all-day Fastlane pass. The new Fastlane pay-per-ride option is available on 8 Knott's rides: Berry Tales, Ghost Rider, Hang Time, Jaguar, Pony Express, Silver Bullet, Timber Mountain Log Ride, and Accelerator. The all-day Knott's Fast Lane Pass that costs $74 to $119 covers all those rides plus 7 more. The $675 Fast Lane Season Pass lets you skip the line on one ride per visit. That doesn't seem like a lot. The first rollout of the single-use Fast Lane Passes at Knott's received positive feedback from visitors and employees, according to the latest Cedar Fair Investors presentation.
Interesting. Yeah, it's I don't know. Is this the way things are going now?
I hope not.
Everything's going to be pay more to avoid waiting and dynamic pricing. Like, you know, Wendy's was in the news for floating that. In fact, it was Nelson. It was a guy who's been trying to get Jay Rusolo on the Disney board. Nelson, you know, he's involved with Wendy's, and Wendy's said, hey, maybe we're going to charge different prices for our food depending on the time of day, you know, or surge pricing and stuff like that.
That's ridiculous.
And of course, there was a lot of backlash about that.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, people have accepted that with Uber and Lyft. They've accepted that with like concert tickets or, you know, airline tickets.
Train, yeah.
Cruise line, you know, they're starting to accept that with theme park tickets. And that's, of course, what I'm talking about here is theme park pricing. And, you know, it's funny what you said, what, $7.50 was the minimum for, yeah. You know, some of those rides you named last, like, seconds.
Right, right.
So it's like, I'm paying, like, 50 cents, or I'm
more than that.
I mean,
yeah,
I don't know. It's almost, it'll feel like a dollar a second, you know.
For... Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah.
Well, I could see the 750 not being some of the bigger roller coasters that I mentioned. It's probably like Berry Tales, you know, the log ride or something, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've been in line, they're really popular wooden coasters right there by the entrance of the park. And my son wants to ride, and I'll wait. I don't ride it, but I'll wait in line with him. And we've been there, and we've been in line when the park closed, right? And so they make the announcement, if you're in line and you stay in line, you can ride. The park's closed now, but if you're, but you're, you know, you're already in line. If you stay in line, you can ride. We'll get through it. But the benefit I noticed was they stopped, you know, no more fast lane people could come in. And that made the line move so much faster.
Of course. Yeah.
So that was nice. Because it does, it makes a huge difference. You've got this whole, you know, other line that's coming in. So now it feels like you're having, you know, cutting in half the capacity. Or, you know, the line's going to move like half as fast when you have, you know, this alternate line. And of course, there's people say, hey, it's worth it. I'll pay it. I'll do it. You know.
I guess for people that don't go all the time, like if, you know.
Right, right.
It, heck yeah. You know, we don't go very often. Let's make the best, the most of our day. And I think Disney, you know, is counting on that. From the people that come from out of the area or out of state.
Like if somebody had only somebody's going to Disneyland and they only have 2 days, like, okay, I'm going to hit Disneyland one day and California Adventure the other, and I'm going to try to bypass as many lines as possible, you know.
As a travel planner or concierge, I always suggest that, because I always say, just if you don't go very often, just do it, and it's really worth it. I mean, you have experienced it before, but then on our last visit last month, you know, you saw how we used it, and I think we got our money's worth on that.
Right.
But it's also one of those things that you, if you don't really know how to work it right, and even this could probably go for this too, or the story we're talking about, then you could not benefit from it. It's sort of like this, like you have to go through some sort of training in a way.
Yeah, it's almost like you need like a test run of it, like while you're home.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Like you're in the morning, you're like, it's like 9 a.m. and you're like, okay, let me get a reservation for Space Mountain. And it's like, okay, now we're at the point I can make a reservation for another attraction. What do I want to get a reservation for? And you just have to learn how to use it, you know?
You literally, as soon as you scan in with you use it once, you scan into that ride, you're waiting in the Star Tours, you scan in, you're waiting because you still have to wait, and it's just shorter. Automatically go right to your phone and get the next one going. It's just this ongoing thing.
As soon as you can. Work that system.
It's hard to explain to clients that have never used it, especially where I can't. It's almost like it, like you said, you have to do it to. You just can't.
Yeah, you gotta once you learn. I am one of those people that, you know, once I do something a couple of times, that's how I really learn to do it. You know, you can explain it to me, and that's fine, but you know, I really have to get into it to get the hang of it. But
I think this will, we won't see the end of something like this. So. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure they can teach it at a class. There's a story from the Orange County Register, but this one's from Jordan B. Darling. And it's called Disneyland Class at UC Riverside. That would be the University of California, Riverside. Is no Mickey Mouse course. Students try Imagineering by Design theme park rides. And as it says here, the student-led course, Disneyland Imagineer, blends the magic of Disneyland with engineering and imagination as students simulate bringing rides off paper and into reality. And they give an example. Jennifer Ibarra, 20, a third-year education and liberal arts student from Fontana, is leading 20 students through a class about Disney Imagineering this winter quarter. She uses guest lectures from current and past Imagineers and the Sweep Spot podcast. No, I wish. And offers students the chance to design their own Disneyland ride. So it's a nice little story about, well, it's not a little, it's a pretty extensive story. Just covering what the different students there are doing and what's happening. And I'm glad to see those things. I wish there were more of those things when I was in college. Not that I ended up doing that work, but you know.
Yeah.
Sounds
fun.
But you know, but you do. You start to get these things popping up. And I think one of the reasons why they can have more courses like this is because there are books now and websites and all this stuff that show people how this is done and explain it, you know. And it's still for a company like Disney, where it's a larger company, there, you know, you might have the moniker of being an Imagineer, but it's not like the job description is Imagineer. You're a show writer or a set designer or an illustrator or animator. You know, there's all these different specialties that you would have. And over the years, that was the advice I kept getting, or I kept hearing others get, was, you know, become something like that. Like, you can become an architect if you're interested in architecture and architectural design. Focus on that, and maybe you can end up working for Imagineering doing that. But there's plenty of other places you can work too, you know. And
yeah,
so yeah.
Wow.
What do you think about that? Does auditing a class like that sound like fun?
Oh yeah, right.
Yeah, it can be serious work. I mean,
yeah, it's not all fun and games.
I mean, I took classes in college where we were, you know, building models and things like that. You know, actual models out of whatever materials. You know, the study models are usually out of cardboard or something like that, but more expensive materials for the finished product. But it's not easy, you know. They were, and this was part of the visual arts department, so there were, you know, sculptors, painters, people drawing over there, you know, just, and they were some of the hardest working students in the college. And I know because I took a lot of classes at other schools at the college too, you know, right. Humanities and whatnot. But the art students, you know, they'd be working on this stuff all night long, pouring their hearts and souls into it. And it's more, it seems like it's more personal, you know, than, you know, mathematics. It's either you get it right or you get it wrong. It's more mm-hmm. subjective with art. And it's like, you know, it's like I poured my heart into this and it just didn't come out right, you know?
Right.
Yeah. So micechat.com has updates as always. They have Brian Pinsky had the February 19th update. Disneyland updates, Performers Unite, After Dark Alert, and Icon Exit. And so, you know, those are always heavy with pictures and stuff like that. And so you can click through and see those, see what's changing at the parks. Natalie Kipper had the February 26th update called In Inching Forward, Spring Surprises, and Continuing Construction. So those will be in our current events section of our website.
All right. Moving to our next one. It's from Brady McDonald, of course. In the OC Register, it says, Disneyland closes 4 attractions during busy festival season. Radiator Springs, say that really fast. Radiator Springs Racers, Incredicoaster, Redwood Creek Challenge Trail. No, not that. And the Sailing Ship Columbia will temporarily close in late February or early March as part of Disneyland's standard refurbishment schedule. The 4 new attraction closures join the Astro Orbiter, Grizzly River Run, Haunted Mansion, Splash Mountain, and Fantasmic that were already shuttered for refurbishment. The timing of the attraction closures coincides with the 2024 Food Wine Festival that starts March 1st at California Adventure. DCA's Radiator Springs Racers in Carsland will close Monday, February 26th. Through March 1st.
So it should be, essentially that should be done and should be back now.
Well, more to come on that.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It says here, the Haunted Mansion closed in January for an extensive renovation of the outdoor queue area that will add a new accessibility elevator for wheelchair users exiting the ride and a new retail shop at the attraction's exit. Disneyland has not announced a reopening date for the popular dark ride.
Wow.
So, speaking of that, let's go right into the refurbs because this will kind of
continue. That's exactly why I placed the story there.
I like it. So, Astro Orbiter is down, of course, but it returns on March 22nd. Haunted Mansion is down, of course. We don't know when it will return, but I would assume it will return by the beginning of the Halloween season, which I think this year is in late August, I believe. Incredicoaster. So it's going back down on March 4th. So yes, it's returning on March 1st, but it's also going to go back down on March 4th.
Huh.
And it will be down until March 15th, according to the Disneyland app.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's what I was saying. They were saying it's returning just for this weekend, and then it'll be down again for, 2 weeks about? So, yeah. So that, I don't know what they're doing there. I mean, obviously, they could be doing some painting. They could be, you know, to all of the above, you know, mechanics and stuff. I mean, a ride like that, especially, you want to do regular maintenance and keep it up. And I mean, it's a high speed, roller coaster. So.
Right. And I don't think we talk about it enough, but when you have a major attraction down for renovation, it changes what custodial does too.
Right.
because you think about it, it changes the whole dynamic of the area if it's a big enough attraction.
It does.
We might have overnight cleaning. There's could be opening and closing procedures pertaining to that attraction, and then of course during the day, keeping things clean. You know, there might be, if there's a mess in a ride vehicle or the line needs to be swept, just drawing the crowds too. So it changes when you have major attractions down in a particular area. It might change how much staff you need over there in custodial, or if you have the same staff, you give them other tasks to do, you know, like going to do some deep cleaning of these building fronts or something. You know?
Remember when Space Mountain was down when they redid the whole track inside? It reopened in 2005, but it was, I think it was closed a lot of part of 2004 and, or if not all. And then I just remember Tomorrowland was already had its issues that at that time really suffered, you know, without having that big traffic. And Incredicoasters is down back in that corner. Yes, there's still Toy Story Midway Mania, which is a big draw. I wonder if that helped with the weights for that, you know, or maybe increase the weight, you know, you don't really know. I did want to say I not misread, but I didn't continue. So Incredicoaster is down those dates, and then it's going to go back down again April 8th.
Huh.
Yeah. So
just, it just keeps going down.
Back and forth. Yeah. So, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, and you know, we know the ride operators.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them are trained on multiple attractions, but you know, there's only so many slots, and so it's like, okay, are you going to take time off, or are you going to do guest control work, or you know,
right?
You know, if that's your favorite thing and that's the thing you work most often, it's like now you're going to have to go work a different attraction for temporarily. And depending on seniority and all that stuff, are you bumping other people out, or, you know,
emotional whirlwind?
They're so similar. Or help out with the food and wine festival. You know,
You know what? You never know. Yeah. And then the last one is, as they mentioned, Redwood Creek Challenge Trail is down March 4th with no return date as far out as the calendar goes. But that's really all we have. California Adventure has, had some big ones go down between the Radiator Springs, which is now open again, unless it rains more.
We have had some rainy weather. That was one of the stories in the last couple of weeks where, you know, early closures. But I just I don't include those stories and.
No,
not unless it becomes an ongoing issue.
But certain attractions don't run well in the rain, and I know Radiator Springs Racers is one, and sometimes Incredicoaster could be one too.
Yeah, so. I mean, you look at Radiator Springs Racers; you've got the it's a complicated ride system, mm-hmm. and it's out there. A great deal of it's out there in the elements. You know,
right.
It's not all inside of a show building.
Mm.
That's got to take wear and tear on it, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
So, we do these every couple of weeks, these updates on the current events. And then the alternate weeks to this, we do our main topic episode on the Sweep Spot. If you haven't been listening to those, you definitely got to catch those. Last time we had a woman who had been a ride operator and a main entrance ticket taker, late 70s, early 80s. That was good. You would subscribe, if you subscribe someplace like Apple Podcasts, you know, it's free. You just subscribe there and then you're going to get, every episode that comes out. You don't have to think about it, you know. But subscribe where you can, so that you can make sure you get all the episodes. And do tell other people we're here. Is there anything else that we should be mentioning?
Well, I was going to mention another place you can listen. And I started doing this because I had requests, and I've been doing it now for a few years, is that I do upload the audio onto YouTube. If you want to go to our YouTube channel, which doesn't have a ton of stuff video wise, but you know, you can listen to the episodes there, and some people seem to like that, or you know, they utilize that. So if that is something you think you would utilize, I do put those up every week also. So
that's good. YouTube.
Yeah.
Listen, subscribe to us on YouTube and spread the word.
Yeah. Also, just wanted to mention, you know, you can always leave a review for us, and it really helps out. And we enjoy, you know, listening to what you have to say about us. So, yeah, we usually read the ones from Apple Podcasts. But like I've always said, if you don't listen to Apple Podcasts, maybe you could just do it for that one time and leave a review, and then we'll read that. But also, if you do listen somewhere where they do have reviews and you leave one, copy and paste and send that to the sweepspot, thesweepspot@gmail.com, and I will read that review also. And we usually do those as part of the main topic that we do every other week, that we don't do these. I usually read them at the end of that. So if we have one, a new one. Anyways, I think that's all we have, Ken.
All right. Thank you for joining us. Spread the word. Tell people we're here. Join our Patreon. Go to thesweepspot.com and click through to get our merchandise. That's wonderful stuff. And thank you for listening.
Thank you.